Good stuff. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Sean Stone is arts editor of Metroland. He joins us this morning, and it's always good to have Sean with us. Sean, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Joe. I'm just sitting here looking out the window watching the big, pretty snowflakes float to the ground.
It's a moment of zen, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
We've got a lot of zen lately.
Let us talk about what is happening on area stages and screens. We'll begin with, as we tick ever closer to Oscar night, you've seen another Oscar movie, a film I have also have seen, and I'm curious on your take.
Whiplash.
Yes.
Written and directed by Damien Chazelle. It's nominated for a couple of Oscars, notably Best Picture. It's about a young drummer at a music school, played by Miles Teller, who is sort of singled out for special treatment by J.K. Simmons, who plays the R. Lee Ermey of jazz conservatory teachers.
Yes.
How did you like it?
I thought it was one of the best films I saw all year. I thought that the performances were outstanding. There were moments that were a bit unbelievable to me, as far as that I thought were perhaps misplaced in the story, but those were.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were very small, and didn't change my opinion that it was a. I have never seen a film that was as suspenseful of a movie that was not about a crime or a murder, or that was only suspenseful because of the way of its storytelling, which was that of a relationship between two individuals.
Yeah, that was very well done. I really liked the music. I enjoyed the fact J.K. Simmons is just fantastic in this movie. I wanted other people in the office to have seen it so I could walk around the office saying, "That's not my tempo."
Yes.
But, what it did really well is it sort of, the characters are sort of like the young, he's sort of like the coming of age, some of the coming of age stuff I could have done without, but the younger kid was just like a younger version of the J.K. Simmons character.
Yes.
He was turning into he was a colossal jerk and he didn't know it.
And was interesting because he was being put in check every once in a while and yet fought back and still didn't. Nobody really learned a lesson, right?
No, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. No one did learn a lesson. It was sort of, it was just about the sort of the way things are in terms of personal development. But I thought the music was fantastic. I really enjoyed that.
The music is stunning. I don't think I was out of the parking lot of the theater before I had already downloaded the soundtrack and listened to it on my way home.
There you go.
The other thing I have to say is and you're smarter than I am on these things, and most things actually. But when it comes to best supporting actor, how in the name of God, like who starred in that movie?
I know. I know those categories are basically they don't mean anything anymore.
No, that was very strange. I mean, J.K. Simmons was a star of that movie.
Yes.
And was an amazing, and he is nominated for Best Supporting Actor, not for Best Actor, and you know, if not he, who was the star of that movie? And I think both he and Miles Teller both were stars of the film, the stars of the film. So,
yes, it's a peculiar situation, isn't it?
Other than that, I would greatly recommend seeing it. I enjoyed it immensely.
There you go. It's a lot of fun.
All right, next.
We have a whole lot of stuff going on this week. We'll start up at the Spa Little Theater in Saratoga Springs with The Complete History of America Abridged. It's being presented by Homemade Theater. It opens tomorrow night, Friday, and it runs through March 1st. Also theater, opening Friday, and it runs Friday through Sunday at Steamer No. 10 Theater on Western Avenue in Albany. It's Ibsen's A Dollhouse, which is being presented as a staged reading by Theater Voices. But they do really, really good staged readings.
Great.
It's a serious, you know, this will be very good. Also Friday night, we have a film, Night Catches Us, which is being presented by the New York State Writers Institute at Page Hall in Albany. It's a 7 o'clock start time. Usually the films are at 7:30, but this one's at 7, just a note. It's a 2010 drama set in the 70s about an ex-Black Panther who returns to his old Philadelphia neighborhood. It stars Anthony Mackie and Kerry Washington. Director Tanya Hamilton and producer Ron Simmons will be there for a Q&A.
Great.
Then Saturday, opening at MySci in Schenectady, Butterflies. They've reinstalled their butterfly house.
It was very popular, and it's coming back.
And you can stand in there, and the butterflies will land on you, and it's quite an experience. And then Saturday and Sunday, both days from 10 a.m. to 5, I believe, at the New York State Museum in Albany, it's the 22nd annual James Campbell Gem, Mineral, and Fossil Show. And what's this draws a really sort of interesting crowd. You have scientists. Then you have the spiritual people who believe in, you know, sort of minerals as spiritual items. And then you have jewelry makers. So it's kind of a cool thing, you know?
Very cool.
And then Saturday night at the Egg, we have the trio Red Molly and their beautiful harmonies. And that will be, I believe, at 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Is that that's who we heard coming in, right, Dave? Yeah, Dave Hopper played that coming in. It's just great stuff. Really, really good music.
And then beginning Monday, it's an annual thing they do at the Capitol Theater in Rome. It's the Looney Tunes Cartoon Madness. You know, the kids are on vacation next week, so they're showing a Looney Tunes program every day, Monday through Saturday.
And how long is the actual program?
I believe it's close to an hour and a half. It's at least an hour.
You know, I apologize for taking this detour, but I was teaching class the other night over at St. Rose, and we were having a conversation, and I made a Pete Puma reference about a whole lot of lumps.
Yeah.
And none of the kids knew what I was talking about. And that surprised me. And not that I'm sometimes surprised by what this generation knows and doesn't know. And then I realized that it's been a really long time since those cartoons have been readily available on television. And so then for the last half hour of the class, we watched some of the classics.
Good idea. Good idea, since they ruined children's television by making it safe and teaching children lessons. They're just as stupid as we were.
We play.
I'm rather bitter about this subject, so we probably should move on. But
yeah, all right. I think it's really interesting, and it's great. And to see them on a big screen is fantastic. You've gone to this before, haven't you? Haven't we talked about this before?
Yeah, a few years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just to see them on a big screen and the full sound, and they're beautiful, beautiful, dating back to the 40s, 50s, early 60s. They're beautiful cartoons, and they're just they're gorgeous to see on a big screen, and yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then starting Tuesday at Proctor's, it's The Illusionist, Witness the Impossible, which is seven magicians with a lot of Las Vegas glitz. One of them, this is some close-up magic. There's a Houdini in the tank thing. Looks very good. It's very popular.
Okay.
And then Wednesday, we've got Family Fun Day at the Palace, because all the people listening who have small children know that their children are still wandering around the house singing those wonderful songs from Frozen, and it's still, so you might as well take them to the palace and see it on the big screen.
That's right. Sing along with your neighbors.
With Elsa and yeah. whatever her name is. Yeah. And then new movies. The last Oscar movie is finally in Albany, so I can actually write for the Oscar issue this week. Still Alice, starring Julianne Moore as a linguistics professor who is stricken with Alzheimer's. Apparently she gives a magnificent performance. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
then for a thriller, we have Kingsman: The Secret Service, which is Matthew Vaughn, who did the first Planet of the Apes reboot movies. Good director. It stars Colin Firth, Samuel L. Jackson, a bunch of teenagers no one's ever heard of. And then the movie that they're pretty sure is going to be the big Valentine's movie, 50 Shades of Grey, because it is literally, it's one of those movies that's playing at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6:30, 7 o'clock at the mall.
Wow.
The trailer looks horrid, but, you know.
I don't usually do this, but I just want to real quick. A.O. Scott, writing in the New York Times, was reviewing the film, and I just want to read the last line because I thought it was some of the finest film critique I've read in a long time. 50 Shades of Grey might not be a good movie. Okay, it's a terrible movie. But it might nonetheless be a movie that feels good to see, whether you squirm or you giggle or you roll your eyes or just sit still and take your punishment.
There you go. I still remember Basic Instinct and what a stink that raised when that was
yes,
out there.
Yes.
I remember seeing that at Crossgates Mall in a packed audience, and at that key scene where we all know what happens, the guy sitting ahead of me turned to his wife and said, "This is pornography."
Pornography.
Pornography. I will never forget that.
Well, and on that note, we will end this morning. Arts editor of Metroland, Sean Stone, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir. Thank you very much for being with
us.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon.